40 days of prayer and fasting, and I pray that you have sought the Lord on what is your part. When God releases a word through your spiritual oversight, that this is a season of prayer and fasting and worship. It isn't an option for you to choose, well, maybe I will or maybe I won't. Of course, you can do that, but there's consequences for doing that. God's word is true. He doesn't give us an option. Would you like to repent of your sin? No, he commands men everywhere to repent. In America, we've gotten this idea, well, I'll do it if I want to. Well, you can do that. But your end is not going to be very pleasant. God wants his best for us. And he's calling us as a corporate body to seek his face, to come together and spend time in his presence. And so we've heard the call of the Lord, and we've said yes. When I spoke with Apostle Leon, he said, yes, that is the direction God is taking your church. When I spoke with the elders said, yes, this is confirmation. This is the direction we are going. We are united as spiritual oversight of River of Life. And we are excited about what God wants to do in us and through us in 2017. And I heard the Lord speak to me that how we position ourselves the first 2 months of the year is going to set our course for our future. And when I gathered with the elders the other night, Pastor Toby shared with me that he's been listening to the prophets, and that is exactly what they are saying. And I purposely did not look up any prophetic words or seek the prophets. I sought the face of God on behalf of River of Life Community Church. But God is faithful to confirm it through his prophets. So this is 2017. This is our first service together. And I'm so thankful all of you are here, because the Lord has a message for us. And we're going to turn to the word this morning. God began to speak to me about a month ago about one thing. And this message and messages have been stirring in my spirit. And I've been waiting for this day to begin to share them with you. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Your word is quick and it's powerful and it is alive. We open up our hearts to receive your word today and open our ears to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And we thank you, God, that your anointing is on your word. You've breathed fresh upon it. Now, Father, breathe fresh upon each one of us as we sit together in heavenly places. In Jesus' name, amen. One thing is what we are going to focus on this morning. And we often need to stop and focus. I was reading an article about pigeons. And pigeons walk funny because they cannot focus and move at the same time. So they will move their head forward and stop so they can get their focus to see where they're going. So Can somebody show their neighbor how a pigeon head moves? Do the pigeon walk this morning? But they have to actually bring their head to a complete stop in order to refocus, to take another step. And sometimes our Christian life, well, most of the time, our walk with Jesus is the same way. We have a hard time seeing while we're moving. And we need to stop between steps to refocus on where we are in relationship to the Word of God and where we are in relationship with the will of God. And stop and look at how you're positioned in the world. That's why we stop, we meditate, we pray, we seek the Lord. Jesus had a pattern of stops. He would pull himself away from the crowds, from his disciples, just to be with God. And then he'd get back out there in the vineyard, in the cities, and he would begin to do the work that the Father told him to do. So we're going to stop and focus on one thing this morning. One thing I desire. Psalm 27, verses 4 through 14. And the psalmist begins by saying, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." The one thing, what is the one thing you desire above all things? Because the one thing that you desire the most, you will put the most effort into obtaining. The psalmist said the one thing he wanted was to be in the presence of the Lord. It was to dwell in the temple of the Lord. It was to be able to inquire. Inquire is to talk, to pursue, to ask questions, to worship. I want to be in your temple, God. I want to be in your presence. So I challenge you this morning, what is the one thing that you go after above everything else? Is it time with God? Is it the presence of the Lord? Where are your priorities as we begin January 1, 2017? Let's read on. "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a high rock." One thing the psalmist desired. And if that one thing is in alignment, we know that in the time of trouble, God will hide us in his secret place if we've gone after the one thing.
That's right.
"And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me." Hallelujah. You can stand strong and tall when people are talking about you, when people are coming against you. The enemy uses people. People are not the enemy, but let's be real, the enemy uses people. So when we look at them and when they're coming against us, when they're talking about us, we know that's the enemy that's using them. God, deliver them from the enemy. Often people don't even realize they're being used by the enemy. And religious people can be used by the enemy by being judgmental and legalistic and critical of you. That's the enemy talking. We want to be delivered from all of it. And God says he will keep us in the secret place of his pavilion when we seek him, the one thing. Therefore, in the midst of trouble and trial, therefore we will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. Doesn't the New Testament tell us to rejoice when they say all manner of evil against you? You know, they're trying to discredit God's work that is on the inside of you. But God cannot be discredited. Hallelujah! What God is doing in you is not contingent upon what people are saying about you. What God is doing at River of Life is not contingent about what people are saying about River of Life. Because God is not persuaded by anything that anybody else says. God does what he wants. And you're not going to change that. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. One thing. We offer sacrifices of joy. We rejoice in the midst of all of that. There can be a joy that is in our heart that the world cannot take away. Joy is a spiritual sacrifice. We offer sacrifices of joy. We come together as the body of Christ and we offer sacrifices of praise. We declare how great our God is. We offer sacrifices of thanksgiving. We are a grateful, thankful people. It's good on January 1 to make a commitment that I am going to be thankful and grateful this year. Amen? In the midst of it all, God is to be praised. And then it says, I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. God wants us to seek him. This morning I sent a blog out on our River of Life app. How many of you have the River of Life app on your phone? I encourage you to download it during the 40-day fast. Every day I'll be sending out every morning, a blog for a prayer focus. And this morning it was Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seek my face. The Lord said, seek my face. So many times we seek what God can do for us. But God says, if you'll just seek my face, if you seek first my kingdom, everything else just falls into place. Seek my face. And our response from our heart must be, yes, Lord. Your face, Lord. I will seek. And if you don't know how to seek the face of the Lord, I want you to have peace that God will teach you. God never asks us to do something that he is not going to help us do. Because we cannot do anything in our own strength. Just confess to your neighbor, I'm weak. But now tell him, but God is strong. God wants to help us do the things that he's asked us to do. And we have our priorities mixed up when we think we can do it. Look how great we are. We have so much talent, so much ability. Look what I did. The glory for everything we have, for everything we do, goes to God. Let's all point up to him. 2017, Lord, we commit to give you all the glory. We commit, Lord, to give you all the honor. You're the one thing we desire. Somebody give the Lord a shout. Thank you, Jesus. Goes on in that psalm. We're not going to exhort. We're just going to read it on through, because as the month goes on, we will exhort more on it. But it says, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsook me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Some of you have felt like you've lost heart in 2016. God's restoring what you lost. He's renewing your hope today. As we sit in his presence, the Spirit of the living God is moving in this place, and he is surrounding every one of us, and he is restoring to us the joy and the hope. That was drained out of us in 2016. Anybody feel an emotional drain on your soul in 2016? The gates of hell have unleashed hordes of demons against Christians to discourage and disrupt and to rob you of the joy of the Lord. And that is why 40 days of being renewed and restored in the presence of the living God. Joy and hope and peace. Because 2017 will also have trouble and trials and disruptions and distractions and disappointments. But you see, God wants to fortify and strengthen you on the inside so that when the enemy comes in like a flood, you raise up a standard against him. Hallelujah. God is so good to us. Thank you, Lord. Last scripture says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your hearts. Wait, I say, on the Lord. 40 days of fasting and praying and waiting on the Lord. is the most exciting and beneficial thing we could ever do as a church. We need God's presence. We need God's help. And God is doing the work, and we trust Him. You see, there's this place of waiting and resting in the Lord. We rest in His presence. Sometimes our focus just needs to be adjusted. Most of you have probably used a digital camera. And if the focus doesn't come in, everything looks a little blurry. Everything is blurry, right? So this automatic focus sometimes drifts. And sometimes our focus drifts away from the one thing, the most important thing. God wants us to focus on the kingdom of God. And when we refocus, God will fix our direction. He'll clear up the confusion. The reason we get confused is because we look for answers in all the wrong places. God wants us to come before His presence and ask Him. He wants us to stick with what He has asked us to do. To seek first the kingdom of God. He has an order. Tell your neighbor He's a God of order. And once again, if we choose not to align with God, the end is not pleasant for us. We get frustrated, we get confused, we make the wrong decision, and angry, and mad at everybody else. We start blaming other people because we didn't seek God for ourselves. Or someone will say, well, that didn't work for me. It might be in God's word, but it didn't work for me. God's word always works. It always works. If it doesn't, then we just might as well pack it up and go home. Who here believes that God's word always works? We just got to work the word. We have to work the word. We give up too quickly. We give up too quickly on the promises of God. Is that right, Janice? That's right. We need to work the word. Just because you prayed it once and it didn't turn out, pray it again. And pray it again. And rejoice. Let the words of your mouth align with what you're praying. So many of the times you pray and you walk away and the words of your mouth just undoes everything you just prayed. And the enemy goes, oh, well, they don't really believe that. So let's see what we can do. You see, God's strengthening us. And I believe releasing the spirit of wisdom and revelation into our lives. wisdom and revelation. Wisdom will be the stability of our times. We need God's wisdom. Hallelujah. Not in my notes. We better keep going. One thing I lack. Mark 10:17 through 22 is a story of the rich young ruler that went to Jesus. And this is their conversation. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father, your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all of these things I have kept from my youth." And then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So this man was a good man. He did good works, and he obeyed the commandments. But he lacked the desire to totally commit himself to do what Jesus commanded him to do. The one thing that he lacked was that he loved his possessions more than he loved God. There is nothing wrong with having a lot of possessions. There is nothing wrong with having a lot of money. What is wrong is when you love it more than you love God. When you rely on your stuff more than you rely on God. When you put your stuff first rather than putting God first. The scripture says, "Love not the world, neither the things in the world. And if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." We cannot love both. Ask God to remove your desire to love the world and the things in the world. It's okay to love people. But even people cannot be in front of God. Over the next 40 days, if you will commit yourself to get with God, I believe he will reveal to you the idols in your life. And we're not going to talk about those today. But we're going to read on. Mark 10:23 through 27 says this. You see, his disciples, Jesus' disciples, were listening to this whole conversation. And then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." It'd be impossible for any one of us to be saved. But with God, it's possible. And God points out things in our life that we lack because he loved us. The scripture clearly says he looked at the rich young ruler and he loved him. And he said, "One thing you lack." And we're going to go on to the last point. one thing I need. So we've had one thing will I seek after, one thing I lack, and one thing I need. And this is the story of Mary and Martha. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." One thing is needed, and Mary was doing that one thing. Mary chose the one thing, and that was to be with Jesus, to focus on Jesus. And so my question today is, how relevant is that for us today? We think we are living in the busiest time in history, and maybe we are. We have so many choices, and our pleasure centers of our brain are overstimulated. And I believe that's in connection with Jesus spoke about in the later times in 2 Timothy 3:4, that men would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. There are so many devices to stimulate the pleasure center of your brain. Just keeps you going. Gotta check. Gotta check this, gotta check that. Gotta play this game, gotta play that game. It's right here. The whole world is like this. Even in foreign countries, they're like this. Stimulating the pleasure center of the brain. Mary chose the one thing. So how do we get to that point where Christ is the one thing? We all have a sinful nature that can easily be distracted. So naturally we tend not to think about putting God in spiritual matters ahead of activities in ourselves. And like Martha, we try to juggle a multitude of things in our life. We have family, we have our work, we have school, we have friends, we have hobbies, we have Facebook. Oh, yes, and then we have our personal relationship with God. God is instructing us to focus on one thing that's really needed, and that focus is on Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. And to help us understand this, I just want to share one more scripture, and this isn't on the PowerPoint, but it's Revelation 3:20. So you might want to write that down in your notes, Revelation 3:20, and it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them and eat with them, and they with me." Jesus spoke these words to whom? Were they believers or unbelievers? The believers. It was the church of Laodicea. They were the lukewarm church. They were rich and they were in need of nothing. And the Lord was standing at the church door and he was knocking and he said, "If you'll just let me in, I will sit with you." They had their priorities all mixed up. And sometimes we get our priorities all mixed up, and we need to take time out and refocus on the one thing that is needed. They had taken their eyes off of Jesus. And let's think about the story we just read from the scripture. When Jesus went to Martha's house, he knocked on the door and she greeted him warmly and she let him in. But then Martha became distracted, missing out on the one thing that was needed, and that was to be focused on Jesus, to spend time with him, to sit at his feet, to let him talk to us. We get so busy talking to him, talking about him, that often we don't stop to refocus, to hear what he is saying to us. So we're reminded today that Jesus is knocking on the door of our heart. Everyone sitting in this place, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. As a matter of fact, he knocks each and every day. So how will we respond? And how will we react?